Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Reclaiming Womanhood podcast. I am your host, Allison Powers, and I am glad to be here with you today. Today is episode number 23, and I cannot believe it, but it is already almost the middle of November. And I'm recording this a bit early, so there could have been a lot that has changed with the whole election and everything that's going on with that. But so I can't give you an update on what's going on because I am recording this a bit early and we know that every day something is changing like crazy. But I just want to, this is not what we're going to talk about today, but I do want to drop in while I'm here talking to you and encourage you to keep praying and trusting that God is sovereign. He is on the throne still, no matter what. And we need just to keep praying and trusting him and trust that he will work this out for the good of his kingdom. Because he says, when we ask, when his children who love him and who pray his will ask, we will be answered. He will answer us. He will listen. So don't ever think that your prayers are futile. Keep praying and trust in God. All right. Before I get started in today's show, though, I want to thank you guys for leaving me reviews over in Apple Podcasts. If you haven't done that, I would be so encouraged if you could just take a minute and go leave me a review for this podcast, Reclaiming Womanhood, in Apple Podcasts, because not only does it encourage me, but more importantly, I'm willing to do this even if I'm not encouraged. Let me just tell you that, okay? It's not for me. It's more so that Apple knows that this podcast is important, this podcast is helpful to people, and it will show it to more people. It'll put it in front of more people's eyes. So leaving a 5-star review for me there is awesome, and I would really, really appreciate it because my heart and my desire is that this would get in front of the right ears and get in front of more ears. It's hard, you know, when you put something out there on the internet, it's a jungle out there. So for something to be heard by the masses, either it has to go viral, which is, you know, not very easy to do, or it just has to be consistently put in front of the right people. So if you could do that, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. Today we're going to talk about a very important topic. I think I always say that, but this is important. This is really important. And this is about hiding God's word in your child's heart. So what do I mean by that? Let me get to my outline here so I can read off notes and I'm not just rambling in front of you guys. So hiding God's word in your child's heart. As a homeschool mom, this is something that has been presented to me simply because the curriculum that we use has encouraged us to do this, has made it part of like our assignments to memorize memory verses. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. The first couple years of doing school with the kids, I did not partake in this part of the curriculum. I would start out strong at the beginning of the year. We'd memorize the first verse and they'd give us a few weeks to memorize a verse. And then I would, as the year progressed, we would fizzle out though. And I would just be like, oh, I'm just going to skip that part. And so I didn't take it seriously. But recently, in the last couple years, the Lord has really put it on my heart the importance of this and gently encouraging me to help them memorize scripture. And not only that, memorize scripture alongside of them. So I want to talk to you about that today, the importance of helping your kids memorize scripture and memorizing it as well with them. So now when the Lord spurred me to do this and encouraged me to take this more seriously, I was reminded that this truth is that scripture memorization, it's not about checking off a box on my teacher's guide. That's not why the Holy Spirit was nudging me to do this in our curriculum. It wasn't so I could check that box off along with math and English and spelling and blah, blah, blah. No, it was because he knows that this will help build a solid foundation for my children to dwell on as they grow and as they mature. It is so important that as we raise our kids, we raise them to have that solid foundation so that they will not crumble, they will not fall when the winds of life come blowing at them. And guess what, guys? There is a hurricane coming right now in our world. Does anybody else see that? There is so much going on. We need now, more than ever, if you had never felt that urgency to give your kids a solid biblical foundation, just look around you right now and realize the importance of it because it's so important. So, but I'm going to give you some more reasons why I think it's important. It's a good question to know why you're doing something and to be totally on fire about why you're doing something. And that will help you to stay on track with it. I always say that to parents who are thinking about homeschooling, don't just jump into homeschooling unless you're convinced without a shadow of a doubt why you're doing it, why you want to, what your drive is. It's so important to know your why. Otherwise, when a hard day comes, you're just going to give up. So let's talk about why memorizing scripture is so important. So after studying God's word, there's a few things that I've observed over my walk with Christ, and I'm going to share those with you today. So the first reason that I believe studying God's word is so important is so that we don't sin. Now, what do I mean like that? What do I mean by that? Do I mean that you're going to be perfect because you're memorizing scripture and you're never going to sin again? No, I don't mean that at all. But Psalm 119 verse 11 says this to us, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And actually all the verses in Psalm 119, 9 through 16 are just on point regarding this topic. And just talking about how having God's word in your heart is a way that keeps your feet on the straight path. Let me see if I can pull it up for you and read it to you because it's so awesome. So hang on. Get out my Bible here. You would think I'd be a touch more prepared. All right, so Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is one of the longest books of the Bible. It is the longest book of the Bible. It has the most verses in it, and it's so good. I just love Psalm 119. But anyways, let me read you just 9 through 16, verses 9 through 16. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. We'd be here for days. Okay, so how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Praise to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So as you can see, the psalmist, as he writes, is just being in God's word and having God's word memorized in so many ways guides his path and keeps him focused on what is right. Because when we're walking on a path, there are so many things there to distract us. And if we don't know truth from lies, right from wrong, without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be confusing and we may stumble. That may cause us to sin. Proverbs 22:6 says this, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not stray from it. It's so important to give our kids this foundation and give them this direction at a young age. We can't make a decision for them whether or not they're going to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but we can guide them and we can encourage them and we can help them develop these spiritual disciplines that will give them that firm foundation. I had a friend ask me the other day, I had mentioned in a previous podcast that I didn't know if Trump was a Christian, and she had texted me. She's like, well, I thought he was a Christian. Here's what I mean by a Christian. I want to make this clear because I think we live in a world of cultural Christianity and where people consider themselves to be Christian simply because maybe their parents were Christians, or maybe they used to go to church. Maybe they still do go to church. And they just call themselves a Christian because they're associated with something that's Christian, like a Christian church. So on and so forth. This is very common. Now, I just want to clarify, none of that stuff is bad, and I'm not condemning it by any means. But being a Christian means this. Being a follower of Jesus means that you have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. There are plenty of people who go to church every Sunday who have not yet done that. And I don't say that at all in a condemning way, but just as a way to make people aware that cultural Christianity isn't going to cut it. When it comes down to it and the pressure happens, people are going to not stand firm if they don't have a relationship with Jesus. My mom reminded me too that it's not about religion. It's not about religion. It doesn't matter the denomination. It doesn't matter the religion. That's so secondary to any of this. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is to acknowledge the fact that you on your own cannot do it. You cannot be good on your own. You cannot have eternal life on your own. You cannot get off this earth alive on your own. You can't do what God's called you to do on your own. You are by nature a sinner. And when we acknowledge that and realize that we are a sinner in need of a Savior, and we humbly come to the Lord and tell Him that and ask Jesus into our hearts and ask for forgiveness and commit to following His way, that is when your relationship with Jesus Christ starts. So when I said I didn't know if Trump was a Christian, I guess my point is I don't know that he's been born again and made those declarations. And until he does, we won't know. And I pray that he has. I know that Phil Robertson, if you don't follow Phil Robertson, his podcast is awesome. I love it. I love following him on social media, even though he probably has no clue he's on social media because everyone puts stuff up there for him. Anyways, he has on two different occasions, he has introduced President Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. And he has explained to him the story of salvation in the gospel and how there is good news because it's not about our efforts and it's not about how good we can be, but it's about Jesus and what Jesus did for us in our place, despite the fact that we were sinful. And that's the good news. And he has encouraged President Donald Trump to act on that. So is he a born again Christian? I don't know. Are you? Like, ask yourself that, because that's really important. There's a huge distinction there and between cultural Christianity and actually being saved and having salvation. I wrote up a blog post on that, and that explains it really well and exactly what I just said. So I'm going to link that in the show notes for you. Anyways, back to what I was saying, we can't make that decision for our children, whether or not they are going to accept Jesus Christ. That is a decision that they have to make on their own. We can take them to church their entire lives that they're under our roof, and then they can choose to reject their faith in Jesus Christ. That's not our decision. We don't want that to happen. We as parents should be praying against that. We should be praying for them to have deep roots and a firm foundation, and we should be doing what we can to encourage them in those spiritual disciplines. So this is one way to do that, and helping them hide God's word in their hearts. Reason number two, I think it's important to memorize God's word is that so that we can have discernment. This is more important now than it ever has been. And I think I say that a lot, but as our culture continues to progress, my suspicions about where our culture is going is continuing to be true. So what I see happening in the world is continuing to trend in a certain direction. And that is away from Christianity. That is away from the thought of a God towards secularism, towards religion of green, loving our environment and worshiping our environment. Environmentalists, I'm not going to get too much on a tangent. I'll link this in the show notes as well. But being an environmentalist oftentimes is a religion in and of itself, that people are worshiping the earth and worshiping nature in such a way that they are completely denying the fact that there is a creator. So there is a really cool documentary that was done by Prager University. Awesome, awesome videos on PragerU, by the way. If you've never discovered them, I encourage you to check out PragerU. And PragerU did a documentary called The Religion of Green. So interesting. And truly what's happening in our world. This whole religion of green is not just about the environment either. It's about worshiping one's self as oneself is the savior. Because as humans, it is our human nature to want to think that there is something bigger than ourselves. There's something that we can worship. There's something. And if we don't have the knowledge of a God who created us and we reject that, then we're going to create our own God, whether it be ourselves or whether we're going to make nature our God, whatever it might be. The last year, my kids and I, we studied many different world religions. And one common thing we noticed was this. When these people, for example, the people in the jungle in the Amazon in South America, I'm forgetting what the tribe was called. Anyways, they had never had any outside interaction with other people. They were very, very secluded in the Amazon, very thick Amazon forestry there, very thick. And so they had never had any outside experience talking to people. And so they had no clue who Jesus Christ was. They had no outside interaction to ever have known that. And so though the Bible does say nobody is going to be with excuse, because even as the rocks will cry out that Jesus Christ is Lord. Anyways, not my point right now. My point is that because they did not know that there was a creator that created them on purpose for a purpose, they made up their own religion. They saw the moon. And so they said, I think the moon was our God, and then they started worshiping the moon. So we crave worship. We were created to worship, and if we don't believe that there is a God who created us on purpose for our purpose, we will worship other things. So it's so important. Okay, so anyways, back to where I was. Point number two, the reason that hiding scripture, hiding God's word in our hearts is important is because we need to have discernment. Scripture tells us that as the end times draw near, false prophets are going to pop up and try to deceive us like never before. Now, do I think the end times are coming? Well, I guess we're a day closer every day. That's all I can tell you. We're a day closer every day. So as the end times draw near, yeah, they're drawing near every second. And nobody knows the exact day or time that Jesus is going to come back for his people, but we do know that every day is one day closer. So as the end draws near, 2 Peter 2 verses 1 through 3 says this, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." So basically, we see that taking place in the culture right now. There are people that are absolutely introducing destructive heresies. 100%. Wolf and sheep clothing. I was just talking about that with my kids today. I think that's in Matthew chapter 7. And how there will be false teachers that come, and they will not look like false teachers. They are going to look kind, like a sheep, harmless, totally, completely sweet and comforting almost. But what are they on the inside? The Bible says they are ravenous wolves. So how are you going to tell the difference? Well, you're going to tell the difference from their fruit. What do I mean by fruit? This is why we need to be in God's word, you guys. We have got to know what God's word says. Everything I'm telling you, I know because I've been in God's word, and the Holy Spirit lives in me and helps me and can help you too. If you're not in God's word, you need to make that a daily habit. But anyways, so how are we going to know? By their fruit. The Holy Spirit says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the fruit of someone who does not have the Holy Spirit is completely different. And it is, those are the things that it's important to know and to be aware. We can't judge people. We are called not to judge people. It's not our job. But we can look at their fruit and we can say, okay, I'm looking at the fruit of this person. I'm not judging them. When I say judge, it means you're changing your attitude about them and you're condemning them because of the way you think that they live and that maybe you're better. We don't do that. That's not okay. But it is important to be discerning and to be wise and to look at the fruit of a person and think to your and decide, is that person in spiritual authority? Is that person someone that I should take spiritual advice from? Because here's the thing, the enemy is not going to tell blatant lies to us to try to deceive us. It's the twisted truth. The twisted truth is what takes place. This a little bit of lie in a lot of truth. The more truth, the better the lie. That's what the enemy does. And we see this with when Jesus was in the desert and he was being tempted by Satan. And we see there that Satan didn't blatantly lie. What he said sounded quite true. And if you look up what he said in scripture, he was either taking it out of context or quoting it nearly verbatim, but adding in a little bit, just a teeny bit, just to make it a little bit off. But it wasn't blatant, flat out lies. Okay, the enemy is cunning like that. And his tactics haven't changed though. So good news for us. He's still trying to do the same thing. And we see that happening a lot in the church right now. You know, that, you know, what love is and trying to encourage people what love is defined as. And it sounds good on the surface. It really does. But when we really dive into it, when we realize love is Jesus Christ, that is what love is. And anything besides that is not love. And we need to really compare every message that we're hearing in the world to God's word. And that is why it's so important to have it memorized, because your children, and to be just familiar with it and marinated in it each and every day, because your kids aren't going to be out, you know, doing life and just like be like, okay, hold on, let me just look in my Bible and, you know, make sure that that is what God's word says. You know, what's cool, we do have phones that can help us with that. But ideally, that's probably not going to be the case. We want our kids to be so familiar with God's word and so biblically literate. And when I say biblically literate, I mean knowing God's word, knowing the truth of what it says and not taking someone's word for it. If we're going to church and our only exposure to God's word is what our pastor is teaching us, that's a dangerous place to be. Simply because, do you know if your pastor is teaching you truth or is a wolf in sheep's clothing? These wolves in sheep's clothing very much can be pastors behind the pulpit, you guys. They can be social media influencers. They can be your neighbor. They can be anyone. I'm not saying to like be super afraid of everyone, but I'm just saying we need to be wise and discerning, and we need to be aware of what is coming in, and we need to take it and we need to test it, and we need to make sure that it is actually what God's word says to us. It's so important to be aware for yourselves. So when Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the desert, what did he do? Well, Jesus would hear the lie and then he would respond with scripture, the truth, and memorize it. Obviously, Jesus, of course, he had it memorized. He was God. He wrote the Bible, but through prophets and such. But so Jesus would recite the truth back to them, debunk the lie. He would always write, "It is written," and then he would quote the scripture that appropriately disproved Satan's lies. And that's what we as Christians need to be able to do. We need to be able to, in our head, at the drop of a pin, when we hear something, not that we have to go to the person and be like, "Well, it is written, da 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 da." No, but in your head, you have to be like, "No, that's not what God's word says. I know that God's word says this," and maybe you won't be able to find it immediately in scripture, but you're so familiar with it that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's word does say something entirely different than what that lie is being spewed as. I heard someone one time say that, what did she say? She was basically saying how she doesn't read her Bible, but she just follows her heart. And while that sounds good on the surface, it's very important that we don't just follow our hearts, because our hearts can be deceiving to us. The Bible actually talks about that, how the heart can be deceiving. And our heart is going to guide us with whatever we feed it with. So if we feed it with garbage, it's going to guide us through that garbage. But when we feed it with truth, then you can let your heart guide you a little bit. But you need to be feeding it with truth, because if we're not putting in truth, then we're putting in garbage, and the garbage in, garbage out. So the whole follow your heart thing and just pray that God guides you and leads you isn't going to cut it. I'm sorry. It sounds good, but it's just not going to cut it. We need to have God's word on our hearts day in and day out. So, and we need to be able to speak truth confidently and boldly. Okay, reason number three, and then I'm going to give you some tips for memorizing scripture with your kids. So reason number three that I think it's so important to hide God's word in your heart and in the hearts of your children is that there may be a day that we do not have access to Bibles. Now, that might seem completely not possible to us here in America. We've always had access to any book that we've ever wanted. We can read whatever we want. We can listen to whatever we want. We have access to so much in the United States of America. But did you know, you probably know this, maybe you don't, there are many nations where having a Bible is not only illegal, it could cost you your life, because being a Christian is illegal. And especially in a communist or socialist nation, you guys, we have to be aware of what socialism is, because it's been very, especially in this election cycle, it's been very just described as a positive thing. But I'm also going to actually link to a video that describes the difference between socialism and capitalism. Bad news, guys. Not a good idea. Do not let someone try to convince you that democratic socialism is a good idea. It is not a good idea. Capitalism is how we've thrived in this nation, and it is the best choice for a government. Small government, allow for capitalism. Anyways, that's a different podcast episode to talk about. But having access to Bibles is a luxury that we've had in the United States of America that many countries do not have. Many countries are closed to the gospel, meaning it is illegal to have a Bible, period. Not happening. So I'm going to quote an excerpt from a book that I read a while ago, and it really puts it into perspective. It said this: years ago, a dear friend was ministering in a country that was closed to the gospel. He assisted in smuggling in Bibles and was meeting with some of the underground church leaders. At one meeting, an elderly woman in her late 70s walked up to him and asked for a Bible. He responded to her by asking her if this Bible was for her or for someone else. The reply back startled and surprised him. She said, "Oh no, our village already has a Bible. This Bible is for the next village near us. I walked for 3 days to come to you to get the Bible for them." You guys, that's from the book Guardians of Purity. Awesome book by Julie Hiramine. So there, this woman walked for 3 days to get a Bible, not even for herself, because she realized what a precious possession that was to have. And the village next door did not have a Bible that they all would share. Her village already had one Bible that they shared. So she was getting this for the next village over. You guys, I'm so spoiled. You probably are too, okay? But I know I am so spoiled. I have so many Bibles. And in my home, I have a shelf full of all these different translations and kids' Bibles and this Bible and that Bible. I am so spoiled. And I think because of that, I take it for granted that I will always have access to a Bible. I can tell you right now, and maybe they'll listen to this one day and come and get me, but I will be hiding Bibles in my drywall. I will do everything I can to hang on to God's word. I am not going to give it up quickly. Bibles and guns, just watch out. I'm just saying that. So listen, we may not always have access to God's word. It may not always be legal. And you know what? A couple of years ago, if I were to give this podcast, it might seem unfathomable to think about this. But with what we've been seeing recently in the political world and in our culture, that doesn't seem that unfathomable anymore, does it? No, it absolutely does not. The thought of losing that right is actually not that unfathomable. So you guys, it's important to hide God's word in our heart, because there might be a day where you do not have access to a Bible. Back in Old Testament days, before the Bible was written down, it was written on scrolls. But I feel like, I don't know this perfectly, but it was like the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Well, Moses didn't come into the picture till many, many, many years after creation. So what was done before then? These scribes, these people would memorize God's word and pass it on to the next generation. Like, that's what you did. You memorized it and you passed it along. You didn't stop. You memorized it with all you could. It wasn't like, oh, I don't feel like memorizing. No, that's what you did, because there were no books to pass along. And that's what they did. So Deuteronomy verse 6:6-7 explains it. This is part of the very beginning of the Bible. And I think it's a really important thing to read really quick. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit, when you lie down. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So that was what they were told to do. You have to talk about these constantly. Put them on your walls of your house. Constantly talk about them with your kids. That's what we need to do too. We need to constantly talk about God's word with our kids. Put it on their hearts. Put it in our homes. Talk about it when we wake up. Talk about it when we lie down. Talk about it when we eat. God's word shouldn't be a compartment in our life, something that we do on Sundays. Or if you homeschool, the Bible time, your time in your Bible shouldn't be like a subject. Like, oh, we got to do Bible. We got to do math. You know, that might be the case, but ultimately, the Lord should be intertwined through every single thing of you do, every part of your life. Being a Christian isn't something that you are, like, in addition to, like, I'm a mom, okay, that's this compartment, I'm a writer, that's this compartment, I'm a Christian, that's this compartment. No, the Christian is the umbrella that overlays all of it. It's a foundation. It is what is all encompassing to you. Your whole life should be impacted by your identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. So, what are some practical tips for memorizing God's word? Well, you might wonder, where do I start? There really is no good or bad place to start, but if you're truly asking, I would say go to the book of Matthew. That just came off the top of my head, because Matthew is one of the gospels, and I think it's such a great, all the gospels are awesome, but it's such a great book of the Bible, because you are hearing Jesus teach, and he's teaching his disciples. You are watching his life. And when you read it from start to finish in the book of Matthew, you get a better understanding, maybe that you've never understood before. So read the book of Matthew, read a chapter a day with your kids, and choose one verse when you read it and work on that verse for a couple weeks. Even as you guys continue reading the book of Matthew, maybe jot down other verses that you want to memorize, but start with one. Don't have to start crazy and memorize it. And then as you continue reading, add on the other ones that you want. But I think the most important thing is that you start a habit of being in God's word with your kids each and every day. and or having them do it on their own. But if you're just starting out and your kids are young, do it with them. If you have teens, maybe start out together, but they eventually can take that habit on their own and run with it. Let them run with it. Let the Holy Spirit work through them, because the Holy Spirit may direct them in different things in the Bible that you maybe wouldn't. So I would start with reading a chapter a day with your kids. Sit on the couch in the morning or in the evenings after school if they are in school, and read one chapter. It will take you 5 minutes. And as you read through the Bible, have a highlighter or have a notebook next to you and jot down the verses that really stood out to you guys as a family and that you guys want to memorize. And so what do you do to memorize them? Well, what we do in our house is we use a whiteboard. And it's actually worked really well with my kids. I have a blog post that I wrote on this as well. I will put it in the show notes. And I did a video that shows what we did exactly to memorize it. But basically what we do is we write the verse on the whiteboard. And then I have the kids read the verse each. And then they each take turns taking away a word. And I'll erase a word, put a line where that word was, and then they have to say it again. And then we keep going. And obviously it starts out really easy, but it gets harder and harder. And what I don't do is do it all in one day. I do it like maybe I'll let them each erase two words a day for a whole week. And then because what happens is they can easily memorize it in a second. They can, but they won't retain it. And so taking time throughout the week to memorize it is what it's going to really solidify it in their minds. And it is amazing. It'll amaze you what your child can memorize. You will be blown away. They're actually probably going to do better than you. I'm going to tell you that right now. My kids are way better at memorizing scripture than I am. And they put me to shame. So that is one way. Another thing to consider when you're helping your kids memorize scripture is motivating them with something. My friend reminded me that it's important to motivate our kids with something that motivates them, whether that be money or candy and whatever it might be. So I have another friend who told me she actually pays her kids to memorize verses. She every time they memorize a verse, I don't know what she gives them, but she gives them money for every verse that they memorize. Hey, they must be motivated by money. Maybe your kids are motivated by bubblegum, whatever it is. And when they memorize that verse, even have that money or that piece of gum or that piece of candy, whatever it is, like in their sight so they can see it, so they can see what they're working for. And it will encourage them. And guess what? Totally worth it. Totally worth getting your kids to memorize verses for those reasons. But again, don't let them memorize it in a second. Like my son, he will see the candy and he'll be like, I can memorize it really fast. And he can, but you'll ask him the next day what he memorized, gone. So I force them to take at least a week to memorize a verse because it just takes time to really get it in there. And then I like to keep a set of index cards with all the memory verses that we've memorized in the past and go through them every once in a while. Because if you memorize one and you don't go back to it and you just go to the next one, well, then you're going to forget them. But you'll be amazed what they remember, you know, from years past. And so I just keep a little file of my index cards and we go through the old ones every so often. Another thing you can do is just writing down scripture each and every day. Maybe get your kids their own little notebook and have them write down the verse that you were working on that week or those couple of weeks every single day, the same verse again and again. So every day they would write it a couple times. And just that action of writing, every kid's going to learn differently. You're going to notice this. Some kids might learn by writing. Some kids might learn by hearing. Some kids learn by seeing it. So everyone's different. And so you got to know your child's learning style and your learning style and just run with that. Another thing you can do is whatever verse you're learning, post that up on your fridge. So when you're around the dinner table, you guys can practice it together as a family, or put it on your kids' bathroom mirrors, put it on your bathroom mirror and just look at it every time you're, you know, doing those things, or in your car, talk about it in your car, put it on a post-it note in that back of your car so the kids can read it and test you on it. That's also a good point. When a kid can quiz you on it, and that really helps them to learn sometimes when they can teach it back to you. And last but not least, I want to refer you to MomStrong International. It is a Bible study created by Heidi St. John. I'll link it in my show notes. The MomStrong International, it's a Bible study, and in the Bible study, there's for every week, it's a 4 week long Bible study. There's a new one out every single month, and they are pertaining to what's currently going on in the culture. So she only writes these studies a month in advance. And so everything that you're studying, actually she pertains it to what's going on currently in the culture. It's a great study. And so with each 1 week study, there is a one kids lesson in there that helps you also teach God's word to your kids. And it gives you a lesson and you just basically read through the lesson. It's very cute. And with it also comes a scripture writing challenge. So there's a different scripture that you can write every single day with your kids. And it's great for them for practicing handwriting, but also for hiding God's word in your heart. Now, I don't do the scripture writing challenge the way that she intends for it to be done. I use that for scripture memory. And so we just pick one verse out of her scripture writing challenge at a time. And it's great for handwriting practice because you can download the print ones with the lines, you know, that they can trace. You can download the cursive that they can trace. And they also have it in Spanish. So it's really great. Highly encourage you to look into MomStrong International. It is like $8 or $9 a month to be a member of MomStrong International, and you get a new Bible study every single month. All right, guys. So I will post all of that information in the show notes. I do hope this encouraged you. And not only that, I hope that it set a little bit of a fire underneath your tail to want to be in God's word and to want to memorize God's word and just realizing the importance of it. Because in the world that we live in, we must know without a shadow of a doubt what the truth is versus what lies are. All right, guys, I hope you have an awesome day. And I will see you back here in a couple weeks. Yeah, if you haven't noticed, we're going to an every other week format because that just works better for my life right now. So I will see you guys back here in a couple weeks. Looking forward to it. Have an awesome day. Bye.
For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.